If we talk about our eternal salvation, how grateful we are for it, because it's a gift from God. We're not wasting our breath. If we talk about the mercy he shows us, even when we deserve punishment, and we talk about that mercy because we're grateful for God for that mercy, we're not wasting our breath. And so when we talk about mothers, because they are a gift from God to us, and we are grateful for them and their influence in our lives, the profound influence in our lives, we are not wasting our breath. We glorify the God who gave them to us. And tonight, it's not that dark outside. This morning, I want us to consider three benefits of a godly mother. Now, you right now don't know what I have decided those benefits are we're going to talk about. What benefits would you list if you were going to list three benefits of a godly mother? In your own mind or even on paper, what benefits would you choose? Which one would be at the top? Which one might be a close second? What things do you consider benefits that you have in your life because of the influence of a mother who cared about God? Number one, we're going to talk about life itself. You are alive because of your mom. That passage that Daxton read for us, Adam called his wife's name Eve, and the name Eve means life. Called her life because she was the mother of all living. And I haven't checked the statistics on this, but I'm pretty sure every living person has a mom. What do you think? A pretty good conclusion I've come to there. Everybody has a mom. I know not all moms are the same. But if you've got a godly mom or had a godly mom, you know what a blessing they are to you. Life itself. When you go back to Genesis 3. Uh-oh. I didn't get my glasses. If you'll pardon me. Oh, Matt's going to get them. They're in that gold case in the inside the black case, the gold case. Ah, here we go. Appreciate your patience. Thank you, brother.
Yep.
You know, in our vernacular, we have this phrase, Johnny on the spot. Well, that's Matt on the spot right there. So, pretty big spot, but nonetheless, it's a... When Adam called his wife's name Eve, it was after they had sinned and God had pronounced the punishments for their sin. God said this in verse 16 of chapter 3 in Genesis. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you'll bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Apparently, there wasn't a whole lot of pain involved in God's original design for giving birth to children, but God's original design still involved moms. It would be the mother who would give birth. Never interchange between the dad some years and moms. That's just a ridiculous thing to even think. It's always been moms. Moms were the ones designed to do that. And apparently, I don't know that this changed from the creation. There's a 9-month, give or take, gestation period. All you moms know what happens in that 9 months. The rest of us can only guess at it. But I know what happens when you're on the outside watching it because, wow, things start to change immediately. Your body changes and those little ones grow and you begin to get sick in ways you didn't used to get sick. And the bigger they get, the more they start pushing around in there to make room for themselves. And it gets a little uncomfortable. But you know what? Women still want to be moms. That's been going on for 6,000 years, and women still aspire to give birth. We got a brand new one among our number, little Mallory. What a wonder. And to give birth, a mother comes about as close to death as she can in this life, giving up her comfort, giving up her safety to bring a new life into the world. I watched my wife give birth. Our first child, Jamie, sweet little Jamie, 31 hours worth of labor. Yeah, I was really tired after that. Yeah, you get the joke, man. The sacrifices a mom makes to become a mom. Watched our daughters give birth, worrying all the time, how's this going to go? What's it going to be like? But they did it, and it's a wonder. We call it a miracle. It's a miracle that God blesses us with. It just happens over and over and over and over. God gives us life through this woman. There's one commandment in Exodus chapter 20 that is very special in this particular occasion. Of the 10, one of those is, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So this woman who gives us life, if we choose to honor her, the dad as well, but to honor your mother, God says, you do that, I'll make sure you live a good long life. This is repeated in Ephesians chapter 6. If you think this is just some Old Testament thing, anybody gets that idea? Go to the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he repeats this command, honor your father and mother, that is the commandment with promise. The rest of them don't have that same promise, but this one has a promise. Honor your mom, your days will be long on the earth. So she gives us life and gives us the opportunity to honor her and extend our lives in this world. Moms are all about life. And you know that our eternal life is based on the fact that Jesus gave his life for us. But where did Jesus come from but his mom? Bless his heart, Joseph was a good husband, but he wasn't the father of Jesus. The Holy Spirit came over Mary, and she came to be with child through that Holy Spirit of God. And that child became our Savior. His mom was at the crucifixion, looking on, seeing what was happening to her child. Don't you know? Boy, I bet that woman could tell some stories. Because the next point I want to talk about, one benefit of a godly mom is training in godliness. In Luke chapter 2, Luke's writing about Jesus when he was young, and we don't have much at all about Jesus when he was young, which in my estimation is another evidence that the Bible really is from God. Because if men were making this stuff up, how many stories do you think they'd have of Jesus' boyhood, childhood, and the things he would do as a kid? The Bible would just be so full of them, we wouldn't have room for much else, I imagine. But there's hardly any of that. But it does say this in Luke chapter 2. This is right after Jesus had been left behind and was in the temple asking questions, talking with those educated, wise men who were there. And when his parents approached him, this is what was said. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And then it says, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Couple of things here, and this is where, you know, I say it. I wish there was one more verse. What does it mean that the Son of God was in subjection to his parents? What has to happen for a child to be in subjection? Well, there has to be some leadership. There has to be some guidance. How do moms guide children? Well, they guide children with every word out of their mouth, giving them instruction, giving them wisdom, teaching them how to behave. And Jesus grew. Do you think he just grew naturally because he was the Son of God, or do you think Mary had a hand in it? How I wish I had a little more information, but I can't help but think that this woman, handpicked by God to be the mother of his son, had a wonderful, marvelous hand in teaching this young boy how to be godly. I have to think that's true because this text says he was in subjection to them. How else can you be in subjection to someone unless they are giving you some kind of guidance, some kind of leading? That's what subjection is all about. And then, of course, it says Jesus grew. He grew in wisdom. How much wisdom did your mom impart to you? Wouldn't you like to have been a fly in the wall of this house as Jesus was growing up? He grew in stature. How many meals did he eat that his mother had prepared for him? Look at me. I didn't get this size by feeding myself. Somebody else fed me as a child, taught me how to eat chicken livers. Came up in a conversation last night. I hadn't thought about chicken livers in years, thank the Lord. That's where I came to appreciate ketchup. But you know, chicken livers are good for you. Ate a lot of them growing up. Ate a lot of squirrel. Ate a lot of things that a lot of people might not think of are good food. But my mom knew how to cook. She'd make steak and gravy. And when she cooked squirrel, she would make it fried. But not just fried squirrel. She would put it in the crock pot, not the crock pot, the pressure cooker, and then cook it down tender and bone it, make gravy, and have dumplings. You haven't lived until you've had squirrel and dumplings. It's good stuff. My mom fed me, but she didn't just feed me with food that you put in your mouth. She fed you with food that you put in your heart. With training, and I've watched my wife do that all these years with our children. And you might think, well, once they leave home, it stops. No, it doesn't stop once they leave home. Sometimes it picks up the pace when they leave home because there is more need. And so there's all this training to be a good human. There was a fella several years ago named Robert Fulghum. He wrote a book. Anybody know the name of the book that Robert Fulghum wrote? That's it. That's the one. Everything I Really Need to Learn, I Learned in Kindergarten. And I thought, that's a great title. And by that age, that's probably true, the most important things. But I thought, what about kindergarten? Everything you really need to know about life, you learn from your mom, pretty much. She teaches you at home. She trains you at home. Just think about the things that your mom has taught you and trained you in. Taught you how to trust. When you had a problem when you were a kid, who'd you go to? You always go to mom. Dads are wonderful. Everybody knows dads are wonderful, but if you need something and you're serious about it, you don't go to dad. I remember Nate Bargatze. Anybody heard of Nate Bargatze? He's a popular comedian these days. He said, got a call one day from the school. Said they wanted to know what bus his daughter rode home on. He said, really, you're calling me for that? I'm the dad. You can probably ask any strange lady on the street. She'd be better finding that information for you than I would. So, by the way, what school is this? He's hilarious, but what he was doing in that bit of comedy was showing this is the difference between a mom and a dad. Mom knows all those details. I don't know how, but Debbie remembers things from years ago. What? You remember that? Yeah, she remembers that stuff. And other moms do too. All moms are exceptional in that way. Moms teach us respect. They teach us manners. What do you learn to say before you leave the house? You learn how to say please. You learn how to say thank you. You learn how to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Those kinds of things. And they're not just wrote teachings about manners, when you learn to practice those things that your mom teaches you, you learn respect for the other people, because that's exactly what all of those rote practices are ingraining into your mind. Respect. Show respect. Tell me that's not a godly attribute. That's what we learn when we learn those things. We also learn that while your mother might make you the center of the universe, she teaches you to understand that you're not the center of the universe. There are other people, and you need to behave towards those people with a right attitude. And isn't that what Jesus has always taught us? He said he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And this is what mothers teach their children, that you've got to share. You've got to behave properly towards others. No hitting, no biting, no pinching, no shouting, no scratching. All those things that might hurt somebody else, you learn from your mom not to do because of the value of other people. You learn obedience. God has been trying to get his people to obey ever since day one. And mothers have such an important hand in training their children to be obedient, to be in submission, as Jesus was in submission to his parents. We learn responsibility. Put your clothes away. Put your toys away. That's not a punishment. That's a training in character. Your mom is trying to teach you the things that God would have you to learn so that you'll be responsible for yourself and for your own life and for your own behavior. And we might think of those things as just little household things that moms do from day to day to keep the house clean. No, it's about keeping a young person's mind clean, about keeping it from all the clutter of the world so that they will learn to be responsible enough to bring order into their own lives. That's a very godly attribute. The first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. God is a creator. And we learn from our mothers to create an environment of our own by being responsible for ourselves and our things that makes and brings order. And we learn competence. Our children need to learn competence, and that's what mothers teach and train us in. How to put your shoes on. How to button up your shirt. What kind of colors to pick out? Well, that's not the first lesson you learn. Which shoe goes on which foot? There are just so many little things like that that mothers teach and train. And we might think of those as the small things, but they're not small at all. They are the building stones of life. And when your mom is teaching you competency in those small things, she's training you to become competent in greater things. And so when your responsibilities grow, you'll apply to those greater responsibilities the same attitude towards competency that you had about learning how to put your shoes on and your clothes, all of those things. The third thing we learn from moms, unconditional love. When every other human being in the world has given up on you, your mom will still be there. She's a godly mother. How is it we say it? That kid's got a face only a mother could love. And there's no surprise at that. Nobody ever said, oh, a mother wouldn't even love that. No, nobody ever says that, because your mom loves you. And she loves you because of who you are. And sometimes she loves you in spite of who you are. And we learned that from her. And we learned to trust in that unconditional love. The one passage that probably more people know than any other passage is John 3:16. And what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the greatest sacrifice that could possibly be given out of love. And that's exactly what a mom does. She makes the greatest sacrifice for you just to bring you into this world. For 9 months, her body is changing, and then she brings forth a child. And if it's by natural means, that's wonderful. But man, you just think about that. I'm not going to talk about it, but you just think about what has to happen for a baby to come into this world, and it's wow. That's what our moms went through. And if they didn't go through that, they went through some kind of a surgery. It's amazing when you think about it. The sacrifice is made just to get you into this world. And when you come into this world, you are loved And why? You get a baby, you don't have any reason to love that child because it is not going to go right home and mow your grass. It is not going to go right home and wash the car. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to just about force it to mow the grass when it gets big enough to do that. You're going to have to be on top of it. It costs you a little bit to have a child. It's a little bit of money involved. It takes a little bit of time to have a child. But moms still do it. And they do it with unconditional love. They do it in a way that shows us we can trust that love. It's always going to be there. No matter how ungrateful we are. Well, not me. You know, I was always grateful when I was a kid. Right. Yeah, you know that's true, don't you? Yeah, oh, big lie, Marty. Didn't your mama teach you not to lie? Yes, she did. Ungrateful. You ever been ungrateful to your mom? You ever had a bad attitude towards your mom? Now, she might take some steps, and those steps might be, in your mind, a little severe to change your attitude and to teach you how to have gratitude. But all of those things are out of love. They're out of concern for you because she knows that you need to learn those things, and whatever steps she has to take to get those things through your thick skull. Have you ever heard a phrase like that used in your house? Because that's the way we are. We come into this world kicking and screaming, not being a help or an aid to anybody, and yet who loves us more than our mother? If I just had a nickel for all the diapers we've been through. If I just had a dime for all the hours we spent worrying. But moms do it for free. Moms do it all the time. Because moms love us unconditionally. In our ingratitude, in our misbehavior, in our poor attitude, they love us through all of that. And they show us what God is really like. And they even love other people's kids. You young people, when you grow up and move out and go somewhere else, when you attend a congregation of the Lord's church someplace else and there's some mother out there that finds out you're out there on your own, you know what she's going to do? She's going to love you just like she loves her own kids. She's going to bring you into her home, probably. She's going to see to your needs. She's going to watch over you. And you mothers are already doing that. You see some young person here, unattached. Well, then sometimes you start to meddle too. We won't talk about that. Try to get them attached. But that's mothering. Mother's not just a noun. Mother's a verb. And mothers do that. And we desperately need that kind of unconditional love that mothers give us. What if the love you were given from your mom was based only on your performance? I could not abide that. I need unconditional love. That's what we all need. And our moms show us how much God loves us. And when you think about it, we even know, intellectually we know, God loves us even more than our moms. I don't know how that's possible, but He does. I want to close with Galatians chapter 3 in a text that's there. There's a passage that I think we just sort of pass over sometimes. I don't want to say that we all do it, but I know I have, and perhaps it gets overlooked more than it should be. But this is Galatians chapter 3. Jesus' apostle is writing to the churches in the area of Galatia, what's now present-day Turkey. And they were struggling with the law and the new covenant, kind of vacillating back and forth. And this is what he says, starting at verse 21. Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by a free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who were the slaves or to be slaves. She is Hagar, who gave birth to Ishmael. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she's in slavery with her children. But Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so now it is also. What is Paul saying to the church? He's saying, God is your father, but the covenant that God has provided is your mother. And what does that covenant do for us? Well, first, that covenant shows us that God wants to give us life and life itself. Eternal life, not just life here, a better life here, but an eternal life with God in heaven. And that covenant trains us to be more godly. It teaches us how to live among ourselves and the way to think about ourselves and how to treat other people, how to show respect and all the kinds of things that moms teach. That covenant taught us that as well. And then that covenant shows us God's unconditional love. That his covenant provides that you and I can be saved for eternity in spite of our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ that God shed freely to buy us back to himself. All these things that the covenant does are things that we learn first through moms who teach us these godly things in their own way. So that's our lesson for this morning. I hope it's been beneficial to you, and I hope we have as high a respect for our moms as we possibly could, being people of God. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement and invitation. And this morning, if you have not experienced the unconditional love of God, if you've not yet come into this covenant that is our mother, I would encourage you to take whatever steps you need to do today so that that covenant can give birth to you and that new birth can be yours with life in Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing for the benefit of anybody who'd like to take advantage of this.